Hi everyone, welcome to season 12 of Arch Conversations. Brand new season, brand new theme. This season we're talking about the balancing act. And each guest will also represent their own stories in different ways and about life balance, I guess. Mm-hmm. For Ellie, we have Ellie here today. She's actually my neighbor downstairs. And Ellie's from represents Homeground.
Yes.
And it's quite an interesting story how we met.
Yeah.
Because I was going to our mutual friend Jasmine's Off Lab Studios, her opening, and Ellie was
making coffee there. Yes, just making coffee.
Random. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, like just talking. And how did we even talk about
it? I think Jasmine mentioned that, oh my God, you're going to move into the same place, but you're going to be neighbors.
Correct. Yeah, because like I saw on the building plot, like,
oh, yes,
the directory, I saw Homeground, and then I saw that you were there. I'm like, oh my God, you know, we're going to be neighbors soon. And then it was like fate and destiny, and then here we are. So yeah. Ellie very gracefully said yes to the podcast on the balancing act, and you will find out why I want her on the cast today. Do you want to introduce yourself, a little bit of your background?
Okay, so yes. Hi guys, you can just call me Ellie.
How would they call you? They're inside the camera.
I don't know. Like if you meet me and you go like, hi Ellie, you know, I don't know, because I think—
Please be friendly. I think a lot of times people don't dare to go out to people and talk to them, right?
Really? Because I get like a lot of random strangers that go like, hi Ellie, and I'm like, shit, especially you do F&B and you go like, who is this person? Who is this person? Right, I met you somewhere, but I really forgot your name. I'm so sorry. But you just pretend that you know the person until like someone like, hey, go extract the information. What's his name? What's your name? That kind. But yeah, if you see me, you can just call me Ellie. Started off Homeground about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Homeground, it's a brand that I would say we started off really small. We only have like a room. There's, I think, only about
the size of this tatami mat.
Yes. And then we started just doing e-commerce, and eventually we have our own store, own roastery, own cafe, that kind of thing. And so here we are today.
I think she concised that a lot. So because I think people, okay, a lot of people drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Face it, right? A lot of people consume coffee. But I like, until, so we just did a roastery tour downstairs at her roastery. And I just found out what coffee beans look like raw. Maybe you guys are more, you know, do your homework, but not me. So when they started out at Joochat, this tiny space, they had a smaller coffee machine in the back of their coffee bar, yes, right? Because I think I've been there with Jasmine. So that's how met you, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's Jasmine, like...
Because I do interior design for Jasmine. So we have meetings there as well in the past. Yeah.
Right.
So then I've seen the store. It was much tinier than her existing store. So it started from the bottom, right?
Yes.
So when you said you did roasting at home, how difficult must that be? Because a roasting machine is huge.
Right? Okay, so like roasting machine, they can go up to like 100, 120 kilo. The one you saw just now was like 15 and a 4 kilo. And they also have what we call a sample roaster, like 100 gram.
Yep.
And it can be as concise as maybe the size of this bus. So yeah, there are people who roast coffee at home. And back then when we started, we actually have obviously no money.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually ran by plow.
When you say we, do you mean yourself?
Like myself and my partner.
Right.
Who is the roaster? Homing. He does the roasting. Right. So I can't do roasting. So he does it. I only make the coffee. So we started to ran by per hour, and that's how we got. And because we don't have a lot of capital, so we decided that like, okay, the best way is to start with as little as possible. We start to do more like pop-ups, like the kind of pop-ups that we did with you the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to different cafes, different events.
Right.
And slowly build up the demand of like, okay, people get to know this brand already.
Yeah.
Because to do F&B in Singapore is actually very risky.
Yes, yes,
because
definitely.
Because it's super easy to enter.
Correct.
And every day, every month, you have like, you know, 10, 20 new cafes.
Yeah,
and people think it's something really easy. But honestly, it's not. Like, if you give me a choice again, maybe I won't do F&B.
You won't do the cafe bit. You will still do the B2C, like, online e-commerce side.
Yeah, I guess so. Because, like, there's so much things that you never expect to learn. And I honestly hope that, like, in school, they taught us about, like, people management. Honestly, that was one of the toughest lessons that I've done over the past 6 years.
I agree. And but then people keep evolving also.
Yes.
So the people that you trained maybe 5 years ago and the new fresh grads now require different kind of training altogether.
And like the kind of people that you meet like at different point of time is actually very different. Like back then, honestly, it was super easy to get part-time. Like being a barista, working in a cafe, it's a cool thing. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, not so much. So it's really hard to actually
hire.
Yeah. So like what a lot of people are facing right now, it's actually the manpower supply.
Mm.
And if people always open up new business, So we are all fighting for the same pool.
Correct.
So yeah, that's the struggle whereby like you talking about balance, like work-life balance, some people will then have to end up doing OT, things like that, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the true struggle. And even being like the boss of a company for 6 years, there are still times that I'll have to be working in a cafe. So a cafe boss is not as glamorous as how it sounds like or feel like. There's a lot of groundwork and everything that you have to do, even until the very today.
I think it's not just like you being a boss. I feel like any kind of SME type of like boss
figure,
yes, you have to be hands-on and you have to keep slaving away, because I feel like at the end of the day, you represent the brand. Mm. Like for me, that's how I feel. I am the PR of the brand.
Yeah.
I'm the face of the brand, and wherever you go, you are now the brand.
Yes.
Right? Right. So I agree with what you say, and actually you're leading into what I want to talk about next, which are the struggles. Mm. So they think the unseen side of, like you said, like people from the outside will see, oh, okay, at least brand is growing, right? Homegrown is growing, and like from this small space and then e-commerce and Joochat space, and now you're in, what's that street called?
Teohong Road.
Teohong Road, yes. And, you know, now they have workshops, now they can do this, now they do that, they have a large roastery, you know, all of that. But what are the unseen things? Maybe name me three of your biggest challenges that you face today.
Biggest challenge? Like, I mean, one of it was definitely my number one. It's always the manpower.
Mm.
It's, you know, we always talk about like getting the right hire or hire right or hire the better way. Like we've went through so many different types of lessons to learn how to hire better, how you conduct your interviews. Because like, especially when we talk about, you always see online, they say how a bad manager will actually impact. It really can make a huge difference when it comes to having a good manager.
I agree.
So yeah, we learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think one of the things was when I started, because I was in F&B before this already as a full-time. And when I transit to become a boss of my own company, I do not know how to draw the line between like the employer and the employee.
Right.
So
right.
It was always like at the very beginning, it was like a friend kind of thing. I feel like it can be very casual, but it becomes very tough when something goes wrong.
You need to enforce something.
Yes. Or when something goes wrong. And another advice, like when it comes to hiring, I would say, if given a choice, don't work with your friends.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I agree. I agree
wholeheartedly. Don't work with your friends. Like, even your close friends and all. Because they will have a very different expectation.
Friends and family.
Yeah, different expectation from you. And it just won't work out.
Unless. I've heard, like, success stories as well.
Okay, okay.
So in the past, like, I had a salad bar and all that, right? But at the time, I was going through a tough time, my daughter and her then father.
Mm.
So I also left the store in the capable hands of my then manager, whom I thought was capable. But then I started hearing a lot of complaints from the staff directly to me, because I used to be in the shop a lot.
Lots.
So yes, I agree that the manager is a really important person. It can make or break the team.
Yes.
Because you can boost morale, or you can be a slave driver, but you can be a slave driver and yet boost morale and people are happy working for you.
Yeah.
So the manager is really important, especially when you can't be there all the time.
Yes.
Managing a team is really tough. My team is only 4 people.
Mm.
I don't find it very tough because my team is very nice. But I'm saying it could be, especially when it's F&B and you have people going in and out all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also because of the current trends, like for example, we do notice that like Singaporeans, most of the time, like they are not, we don't view F&B as a career. Unfortunately.
Really?
Yes. Unfortunately. Like even up to today, like there are times that whenever I get like people ask me, is this your real job?
Huh? Are you for real?
Yes. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, no, of course it's my real job. So there are people who don't view this because there's no career prospect.
And I really? Think,
yeah. A lot of people see it this way.
Mm.
And some of the more traditional people, maybe you think, like, oh, you have to work in the office, da da da.
Right.
Yeah. Like, but thankfully for my family, they are quite chill about it. To them, it's like, you do whatever makes you happy. And like, as long as you're healthy, they are cool with it.
Yeah.
And we do have people that come and say that, like, I'm so sorry, I need to leave the job because my parents don't agree with what I do.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. And you really do get customers asking you, like, this is your part-time. It's not a full-time, right? Because when they look at me, it's like, okay, this person is like 20 plus 30. Are you serious that this is your full-time job?
Yeah.
But honestly, I think for F&B, right, it's very challenging. You need both IQ and EQ.
Yeah.
You need to know how to deal with your customers. You also know how to, you need to know how to work around things like that.
So yeah, you need to be quick on your feet.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it seems to be. Mm. I'm sure you have been to restaurants that offer you like fantastic service. And then there's like the kind that goes like,
yeah,
not so good. Yeah, like then that's actually what creates the difference when you when you have, you hire someone who believes in hospitality and service, that's kind of experience that you will get to have in a restaurant.
Yeah.
So you do need like some sort of effort, IQ, EQ, whatever there is to make a F&B great. It is not as simple as like, I get someone to come and serve you coffee, put in the coffee grounds, that's it. It's not so straightforward.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what would you say your second biggest challenge is then?
Second biggest challenge, I guess is always you have to choose. You are always forced to make a decision. Like, for example, I have to choose between how I allocate my time.
That's where the work-life balance part comes in.
Yeah, like,
right? For example, when you say allocate your time, do you mean to work and to socialize? Or?
Yes, like to work, to family, to friends and everything. Like, 6 years, right? Actually, I don't think I've spent too much time with my family or like even my friends or anything.
Really?
Yeah, they have come to a point that they know that like I'm just a workaholic.
Yeah.
And they know that when I want to look for them, they will most of the time they'll say yes because they know that I have a very busy schedule.
Right.
And honestly, this is something that I think I kind of regret now because 2 years ago, my dad was diagnosed cancer.
Mm.
And then like, I also tried to do my best. Because like, to me, it's like, okay, I want to make sure I earn enough. So if anything like really goes wrong, I have some money in the pocket.
Correct.
That kind. But to do that, I need to work really hard.
Yes.
And then I need to balance out like, okay, so should I work or should I spend time with him?
Mm.
So that is really a challenge. But he passed away in last year, August.
Mm.
So, and I mean, his last word for me is also like, don't work so much.
Mm.
Yeah, he'd say like,
as a parent looking at his child.
Yeah, he's like, you work too hard.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'm not sure like, is this actually like a legit or like a proper term to say like, you work too hard.
Mm.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel that when you're so engrossed in something, you just keep going. You don't know when to stop. Has it ever occurred to you that when you want to do something, you just keep going until like, you don't know where's the limit.
Yeah.
And you just don't stop. Until someone tell you that like, okay, you need to take a break.
Mm. Do you take breaks?
No.
Not even like 2 days or like...
It's very hard. I guess it's like, there's always constantly like things that you need to deal with. Like you wake up like, oh shit, okay, work. Before you sleep, work. Mm. Or like, but I also think it's also how I run the business, which is also now I'm in the midst of like transiting how I handle and deal with it.
Mm.
Because I used to have so many like hands-on. Like
yeah.
I wouldn't say it's like micromanage, but more of like I'm the kind whereby if something goes like it's okay, I'll fix it for you, and then I'll take over the task.
That's called micromanaging.
Yeah, but it's like it's like I see that you struggle, and I don't want you to struggle.
Yeah, but then how do they learn if they don't struggle?
Yeah, so that's what I learned also. Like there are things that like as long as it's a mistake that the company can afford to make, you can let it go.
Yeah.
So that's what I learned over the time, and how also like getting the right people to do it. Because back then, I made a lot of mistakes. I used to trust too much.
Yeah. I did that before too.
And then I was like, and then when the screw up was really bad, and they just go like, I'm sorry, then I just leave the company. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, being through that kind of shit situation that made me transit, I was like, okay, if someone struggle, I'll help. Yeah. But then I guess the help that you want to offer, it's also very different. And to what extent and what degree to that person will actually make a... huge difference.
Yeah.
And then I think also another challenge actually it brings back to the first one, which was the lacking of manpower.
Mm.
Then you have no choice because you are the boss, ma. Then you talo.
Mm.
You have to thank off. Yeah. As much as you don't want. Then very, I think maybe about a month or 2 months ago, I came across this YouTube video that talks about how you manage your time and your flow. Because this guy actually, he was diagnosed with some illness and he cannot work like how he used to work, like 10, 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So he was forced to concise his work into like 2-3 hours. And with that, he kind of like developed his workflow and etc. And that helped him to manage his work. So there are times that even though you think that task you have to do, but you have to learn to say no. If it's something that you can delegate, you delegate. And if really you can't have the capacity to do it, you should just not do it. Even though you know it might kind of like disrupt your operation or what so, you have to learn how to prioritize like what other things. Yeah. And I think learning how to say no to tasks is one of my biggest challenge for myself.
Right.
Yeah. Because
I... So is that your third biggest...
Yeah. Like I find it very hard to say no to people to sometimes.
Mm.
Especially when
you're coerced into doing this podcast.
No, of course not. I'm happy to do it. Yeah. So it's like I mean, in this kind of situation, I'm okay to say no, but I will feel very sorry if someone genuinely asks for help, but I say no. Mm. Yeah, that's what I kind of like.
Okay, so with. I think that's something that I want to add to.
Mm.
I feel like this particular phrase, learning how to say no, is really, really important for everyone.
Yes.
Not just your job, everyone.
And everything.
Of course, not the selfish people who only say no. That's a different story altogether. But I'm talking about the people who are giving and selfless.
Mm.
I think I also learned that lesson the hard way through many different scenarios, be it work. I think for me, it was like, because our cafe closed during COVID and then having to pivot and then do creatives, which I did freelance already, but taking it as a full-time was a big risk for me. And then taking on every single job, I mean like really bad, like no prospect jobs, whatever it is, if it's a job, I'll take it because I wanted to expand the company. And then having burnout. So I don't know how you last 6 years like this continuously without stopping and not have burnout. You must have some good people in your team. If not, it would be very difficult for you to continue. Yes, yes. But then I think for me, what made me stop and pause in my tracks, perhaps for you is your father's experience.
Yep.
For me, it was my daughter. Because my daughter, one day, and she was quite young at that time, she said to me, like, Mommy, all you do is work. Because she wanted to ask me something.
Mm.
And I was just on the computer at home. I think it was a weekend. And then I felt so bad. Because, like, what am I working for? I think that's what you need to ask yourself.
Yes.
What is the end goal?
Yeah. I mean, this is, like, recently the question that I constantly ask myself, like, where is the end? And then, like, I don't see the light through the tunnel. Like, I honestly feel so bad, like, at my dad's funeral, I'm still working.
Mm.
Because I felt that, like, I need to be responsible. It cannot be because of my own family issue I affect the company operation. But honestly, sometimes we are just human.
Yes. Yeah. And that you need to take that break.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even have time to, like, you know, like, cry or, like, feel about it. Because I'm so worried that, like, if I start to, you know, delve into it, I will, like, just break down.
Correct.
Yeah, so this is...
But then you're using something to hide your emotions.
Yeah. So you which is not very healthy.
It's not healthy at all.
Yeah, it's not healthy at all. Yeah, and because I have this mentality that, okay, if you want to be the leader in the company, you have to be responsible and you have to know how to take care of your people. So how I see is, which I would recommend not to do it.
Yeah, she's recommending just don't start your own business, okay?
Okay, talking about starting a business, before I go back to what I said just now, if you ever want to start your own business, right, don't do it just because of passion.
Mm.
Or like, don't do it just because, like, for example, you want to open a cafe. Oh, it's a beautiful idea of, like, having my own cafe.
Just not be idealistic about it, right?
Yeah, like, you need to have a very clear mission and vision of, like, what you want to do.
Mm.
You know, sometimes when I was young, I'm like, why does school has a vision and mission? That's so lame and boring. But actually, when it comes, or even like for a company, but actually, it's actually very important. It's going to help you to decide or how you make your decisions moving forward for that particular company that you want to build. It's not just about, like, you know, I want my space, I want to be my own boss. That's not good enough. And trust me, being your own boss, right, sometimes you don't really get much options. You can't actually have the final say. It's no longer like the old times whereby, like, I'm the boss, I get the final say.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work that way. So, yeah. Yes, so if you want to do your own business, think twice. Yes, and if you are hoping that, like, you want to do your own business to get freedom, right, that's the first thing you lose.
Okay, back to your point.
Sorry, what was that? What were we talking
about? That's what I was worried about because I was like, oh no, no, she cannot. I'm not going to remember for her. She better remember. Terry, do you remember what she was talking about?
What were we talking about? We were talking about my...
No, we were talking about my... finished all the third challenges.
We were talking about my dad.
Yes, yes.
And then we were talking about...
Working.
Yeah. I forgot. I'm
Girl,
so sorry.
That's okay. Actually, you also led into a very important point, which is, like, we're still on the challenges topic, but, like, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense and it strikes a chord because I think when I started out, I was also very idealistic. Okay, my family has some money for me to start something.
Mm.
What am I going to use this money for? F&B sounds like a good thing. I love, like, this food, you know, like, I'm very good at with people. I know a bit of marketing. I can do this.
Mm.
But when you actually start doing it, there's so much, you know, like, so silly, you know, like, so idealistic and thinking that you can do it better than the next hospitality person who went to school and had years of training and all that. Like, no way. So actually learn a lot of, ate humble pie and learn a lot of lessons along the way, meeting people in hospitality.
Mm.
Because, like, small-time business owners, right, are the best people to talk to, I feel like. Because that's where you learn the most. Through your struggles,
yes.
Each, like, everyone struggles, you actually learn how to do things better.
Yes. And I think if, let's say, you decide to really take on the entrepreneur journey, you really don't have to be so hard on yourself. Like for me, I always believe like the worst mistake, is not to make any. Mm-hmm. And I learn so much through my mistake. And how I actually encourage or motivate myself most of the time, sometimes it can be really painful when you make a mistake. But like if you can carry forward, I know that this experience will help me prepare for something bigger.
100%. Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Mm. And that kind of like change how I will feel when I make a mistake. I don't feel like, you know, like depressed or like, you know,
anxiety and all that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like sometimes I have sleepless nights because of that.
Yeah.
I beat myself up. Yeah. Because I feel like I am the leader of my team and ultimately everyone's mistake is basically my mistake.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I wanted to say just now when you talk about this. because like when you talk about like, which is a mentality that I don't encourage people to have. It's like, I feel I'm very responsible, like what you talk about, for the team, for anything and everything. Like I go to the extent of thinking about like, okay, what would their career prospect be? How can I help to plan their career?
Oh, I'm like that too.
Yeah, but I came to also realize there are people who just want to chill.
Right.
I don't need
correct,
like, progression.
Yes.
I'm surprised.
Correct. I've met people like that as well.
Yeah, and when I...
Because they don't understand me and I don't understand them and we cannot be friends.
Yeah, it's like they just want to chill and... For them, like when you want
to. Which is great.
Yeah.
Just like, it's different. My energy is just like so far forward and I move so quickly that like I can't, you know, like, I can't go that slow, you know?
Yeah. And because I would think about, like, okay, what if next time this person want a BTO? Like, you can't be like, at this age, you earn this amount.
Okay, but that's overthinking. That's an anxiety present for you.
So, yeah, which you shouldn't like care so much because it's their own problem.
Not that you don't care. Okay, yeah. This is Buddhism teaching, right? Everybody walks their own path.
Yeah.
While you walk your path, if you want to give shelter to someone who's asking for help, sure. Mm. But you're not to walk their path.
Yeah.
If not, they don't learn their lessons and their, you know, misgivings or whatever. But of course, you're in hospitality where like you meet way more people, way more part-timers.
Yes.
You know, I've had a part-timer. He came to work very off. Okay. And then he went to the toilet for like 90 minutes and we're like, what is going on?
Okay.
And when he came out, like, his eyes were all over the place and stuff, when we called ambulance because he was basically on drugs. He was high.
Wow.
So, like, hiring, like you said, is really, really important. I know we keep jumping topics. This is going to be one hard podcast edit. But, like, it really does make sense. Like, hiring is really important. But I also learned that the hard way. But, you know, like, I've been through a lot of life lessons where, like, people have kind of, like, taken my trust for granted.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, right? It is in me to this day, right? I will still meet you and if I feel like your vibe is good, I'll trust you until you hurt me. But I never turn back again. Okay. Once it's broken, it's broken.
Yeah. I used to be like 100%.
Yeah.
And then like you'll go down.
Yeah.
But now I've learned that I can't start with 100%. I will always
do hurt, is it?
Yes. Yeah. Too many times. Then I start with 50. And then I'll spend some time with the person. Then before I decide that like, you know, is it okay or not? Because if not, most of the time I
end up giving.
Yeah, and you have too much things to deal with.
Yeah. No. Like, I'm turning 40 this year, right? How old are you?
Well, you don't look like you're turning 40. No, I'm serious. I'm turning 32 this year.
Okay, right. Mm. So, you have a long ways to go to hit my milestone now, right? Mm-hmm. So, a lot of women my age don't like to say, hey, I'm 40, right? Because women want to always feel young, look young, stay young, right? Don't get me wrong, I don't want to look old either. That's not my goal and not my point. But I am so, so happy.
Mm-hmm.
In turning 40 because I know myself in my 20s, I know myself in my 30s, I was a shit show. Mm. I was going through so much trouble and all that. And like, I'm sitting in front of you and everything that you're saying to me sounds like a memory that I've had once.
Oh man.
That's how crazy it is. Maybe not in hospitality, not exactly in
similar.
Yes. And I hear you and you're such a strong woman and you're still pushing and doing and you know, like when you talk about pain and suffering, you're not saying like, oh, look at me, poor me, right? You're just saying like, this is what I'm going through, this is what I've been through, this is what I have to do, right? But I hear all of this, right? But I feel like you're on a great trajectory, even if you're going through the trenches.
Mm.
Because when you are, I think that's what they mean when they say life is a full-on lesson.
Yes, it is.
So and the older you get, right, the more you learn to let go.
Yes.
Yeah. I really have. Like Chinese New Year, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't feel obligated to meet anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I throw a very big party.
Oh, okay.
And then I have to go and see this person do this. You know, my agent, like, we have to do all this, right? I said, no, I'm not going to do anything. Like, Christmas was enough. Like, I'm very tired. Like, I need this break. So I did nothing. Of course, I had to do the very basic, like, parents and all that.
Mm.
Beyond that, I just, like, nope. I spent time with my daughter, spent a lot of time with her. That was it. But my old self would be like, no, 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 I have to see this group, that group,
you feel that, like, right? Obligated that I need to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's just like one example, a very simple example.
Yes.
But learning how to say no is the best thing you can do for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, it's sometimes not so bad.
Yeah, it's not. And also back to what you said about work, right? So like I was saying earlier, like about burnout and all that, and my daughter coming up to me and say, all you do is work, right? Mm. And then I asked myself, so what's the end goal? I want to build a name for myself in the interior design industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be a working woman. I enjoy, you know, all this stuff that the I'm hustle. Learning. I really love it. The you know, I'm always the first at work and not the last to go. But I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I enjoy what I do. But there, like I told myself, right, like what you said earlier, right? I used to, because we're in interior design, so it can start at like 8 a.m. It can end at 2 a.m. because there's night work, right? Yeah. So in the past, like when I first started, I was just like replying all the time. And I was so tired of, like, I hated my phone.
Yeah.
So yes, I didn't want to look at it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Once the phone ring, I'm like, shit, like, you know, I don't even want to, but you've no choice, right?
Yeah.
I can put down my phone for 2 hours. When I pick up my phone, it's like 15 messages.
Yeah, I'm good, like,
yeah. So what I do now is, you also do this for yourself. I set a schedule. So 8 p.m., 8:30, I turn my phone to like sleep mode and I don't look at it at all.
Yeah. Same.
I stop doing that.
Yes.
So much better for my mind. Yeah. I actually have much better sleep now.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I did. So that's one thing, right?
Yeah.
And then learning how to, like what you said, if it's not going to make my company close down, it's not the end.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yes.
So I've learned how to say, like, last year we went through a very dry patch where we are a project-based company, right? Mm. There were no projects.
Right.
And I was like really shitting my pants. I was like, shit, what am I going to do? You know, like, you know, we have team to feed and this and that, and we just hired interior designer and all this. And then, but I told myself, like, jobs came, but they were not ideal to us. Not saying that, not in terms of money or whatever, but just like, it didn't feel like it was going to be a good partnership.
Right.
And I didn't want my team to suffer. Mm. My team, a lot of them are introverts. And because of that, I don't like working with people who are masochists or bigots. Mm. You know what I mean? Because they would suffer if they have to handle certain parts of the project. So we said no to a lot of things, even though the company's in the shit. Yes. But it turned out for the better.
Okay.
It turned out for the better. And I learned that. I was like, oh, you know what? Even though we're almost dying, we're not dead yet. You get me? Like, there are still the smaller jobs. We did the smaller jobs with nicer people, maybe not as much money, but we still learn and all of that. Like, at the end of last year, I was just like, you know what? It was worth it.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's what I want for you.
All right.
You need to know when to say no, even if you earn less, even if... Because when you say you need to work hard to earn money, right? How much money is ever enough? It's never enough.
Yes.
You know, like you have your BTO. Okay, someone gets a BTO. Then when you earn more money, you get a condo. Then you get a condo, you earn more money. It never...
Yes. It will never
If end. You talk about money being enough, it's not going to ever be enough. If you were somebody who thought that money is enough, you would go farming or wolfing and just live on a ranch. And then I watched Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, do you know what I mean? Be self-sufficient, off the grid. It's enough.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, those people who said, I don't need progression in my career, right?
Yeah.
They would do that. And that's enough. Correct.
Yes. Yeah. That's, I mean, the good thing about like working in the company is like, you really get to meet like all sorts of people that you never imagined that it would be. Like last time I would be like, hey, there are people that I don't get along. But actually it's not about getting along with them along. I learned to appreciate like people of like different characters. And I will have a different, version of Ellie. Like, people, I will deal with them very differently.
Correct.
Talk to them very differently.
Yes. I agree that I'm like an onion line that way, right?
Yeah.
I'm the same.
Yeah. So, like, with all this hustle that you've been through, like, whether it's in 20s, 30s, or, like, you know, as you are moving forward, have you ever wished for, like, a simpler life? Like, not so much hustle. So you enjoy.
I enjoy. Okay, so my life has been very tumultuous.
So tired and everything.
I think it's worth it. I think that if you don't know pain, you don't know real happiness.
Mm.
I know it sounds very sadistic, but like honestly, like if people who have always been cushioned their entire life, what is happy?
Yeah.
Because you're constantly like this, right? It's just monotonous.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. It's like, it's always a balance. Like how we make coffee, right? Okay, it sounds a bit cliche, but like when we want to make coffee, we want to make it balanced. Like
balance.
No, like it's like, okay, we, for like so-called a specialty coffee, you don't want coffee
taste. Can you please explain actually? I think people will be interested. Like, yeah. How do you make a balanced coffee?
Okay, so like in coffee, most people, we don't want bitterness, right? We want sweetness, you want the fruity notes and everything. But the truth is, regardless how you do it, how good you are, even the world champion, there will be slight tad bitterness in your cup of coffee. But it's how you balance out the level, intensity of the sweetness and the acidity or the sourness in the cup that makes the whole cup tasty. Well, through adjusting the recipe by changing the water, the hardness, the temperature that you use, that kind of thing. And I think that's 100% applicable to like your life.
Yeah.
If you don't feel sad, how will you know what's happy?
Yeah.
And you cannot expect
it
your day...
It could be a very empty kind of happiness.
Yeah. And you cannot expect every day to be happy. It's impossible. No.
Yeah.
And there are people who will always, you know, seek happiness only. Mm. And I think that's not what we should be seeking most of the time. It has to be a balance, and you have to learn how to deal with sadness, then you will appreciate what you have.
This is why I wanted to do like the podcast about balance this time, just because that's what I realized. Mm. It's not about being happy or chasing happiness.
Yeah.
I found happiness when my life felt so balanced. Mm. You know, no doubt I still have apathy, no doubt I'm still sad sometimes and anxiety and work and whatever stress and whatnot, right? That's normal.
Yes.
Understanding that all of that is normal, but not say like sit there and don't give a shit and just wait. Doesn't fall out of the sky, right?
Yes.
You have to go out and pursue your own form of happiness. Mm. But at the same time, do it justly, like being honest to yourself, not hurting anybody. And not hurting anybody meaning, when I say that, I mean you need to give yourself time to rest.
Yes.
I feel like that is a lesson for you today as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think another, like, a very big takeaway that I have in my this 6 years of, like, running home ground, etc. It's, you know, I used to be someone that, like, I only want to do what I like and what I love.
Mm.
But actually, in life...
Oh, my God. There's
sometimes
no way.
There's no way. And I realize that a lot of people are like that. If you are given something that you don't like, then I don't want everything. Yeah. But the truth is, you can't do that.
Mm.
If you genuinely really love something so much, then you have to accept things that you even you don't like to do.
I would say, 爱屋及乌.
Yeah. Right? Like, you have to do things that... Like, for example, I run my own business. And I do F&B. Actually, it's because I hated admin work. Yeah. I wanted to do like
hands on, like, you know,
yeah,
like moving
and then,
about,
you know, talking to people.
That.
But guess what? If I run my own business, I still have to do paperwork.
Yeah,
100%. But and you can't, you just can't avoid that. If you have to, you want to do something you like, then suck it up.
I agree with you because, I cannot sit down at the office and do all that. But guess what? I'm sitting here 8 hours a day. but I agree with you because I also started out very passionate, right? I only want to do what I want to do. And being creative is the only thing I know how to do, to be honest with you. I have no life skills in terms of going to school, getting a degree or anything like that, right? So I can only use what I know and what I have, people connections and whatnot, to create something, right? But see, that's where people think, like, for you, making coffee. Oh, you make coffee. Oh, yeah, I make a good cup for coffee can already, lah, you know.
Yeah.
Sell at the competitive price. It's not so simple, right? Your inventory, your roasting, where the beans come out, all of that. So much paperwork, right? Yes, I get it. And then you need to talk about managing staff and hiring, all that stuff. Great. For us, it's the same thing. People see interior design. You see the end product.
Yes.
You only ever see the nice photos, be it on socials or magazines and whatnot, right? But everything that goes into the design, basically, I tell people now what I do is conflict management.
Oh, yeah.
Design is maybe 10%. The rest is all conflict management. Not so much between my team, but like the contractor, the client, the suppliers, the shipping, logistics. Is it going to come on time?
Yeah.
You open up a wall, there's a pipe in there, your design has to change entirely. Like everything is about resolving problems.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can go into something very passionately.
Yeah.
But be ready that not all of it is rainbows and butterflies.
Correct.
But I wouldn't just say suck it up and do it. It's more like, I have found a way to enjoy doing that as well.
Okay.
I'm a sadistic person. So, even in facing these problems, so what I did was, I chose better clients, like I told you.
Okay.
You know, so like then, the client, most of the job is you're talking to a customer, right? Like your house, your shop, whatever.
Right.
I chose better clients, and I rejected the ones who are, I could feel off the bat nasty, you know. And the other thing is, I found better suppliers.
Right.
I found contractors that I only want to work with.
Mm.
Because they are the ones who make or break the entire process of construction. I've had really bad ones before who have made me like just keep going back to the job.
I have nightmares with contractors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's part of making the work situation better as well.
Mm.
Choosing better.
Making better decisions and choosing.
Which is also a learning curve. You wouldn't know. You have to work with someone in order to learn something, you see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's also like balance. Like another balance that I would say that it's, sometimes you have to balance your passion and your motivation.
Mm.
You cannot just go all out right away because it will die off. You have to learn how to like balance it out at a different time of your career and all. Otherwise, there'll be one day that you go just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I see in a few people that used to be very passionate about some things they do. And then when they start hitting
the wall. Sometimes they're too close to the sun. When you're too close to the sun, and you're like, oh shit, actually, I can't do this anymore.
Mm.
But I feel like they can find other aspects of it that they like doing. Maybe if they're a barista and like, you know, I can't do this anymore, it's too much. Okay, you can go into like roasting or, you know, different things. I feel like then you're still passionate or maybe you can rebuild your passion.
Mm.
Yeah, because maybe that could be burnout.
Yeah, so that's why like it's very important to make sure that you don't get burnout so easily.
Mm.
Don't get like, for me, like, what I witness is don't get so passionate and just like, yeah, everything okay.
Yeah.
And then when you hit a problem, just like, oh shit, and then you snapped.
Yeah.
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 So, yes.
Or learning to basically preempt those problems, is what I said.
Yes, of course.
Alrighty, do you have like any advice? This last bit already. Just like, I know we've been giving advice this entire time, but if you want to summarize everything that you've been through as a business owner, what would you give advice to someone who's starting out? Don't say don't do it.
No. Okay, I would say...
like you said, right? Like, have your business vision and mission.
Yeah, I think you have to be very clear cut of, like, what exactly you want. And you have to... I think for me, it's about learning working with different type of people. But that was through all the different lessons and everything. So, to me, it's always down the same. Like, ever since my poly time, I always believed that the worst mistake is not to make any.
Yeah.
And my mistakes actually helped me to become so-called stronger, a better person and all. I think especially...
practical mistakes though.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of... I've met idealistic people who say like, hey, you know what? I have this amount of capital. I want to start this business. You know, I know enough people, it will work.
No, it doesn't...
not like this.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. And I think you have to be someone who I would say... I think really it goes back to the word balance. You need to know how to balance.
Oh my God, this is the perfect podcast for you.
Yeah, because it's like, you have, okay, one thing I learned is like, for the business to be doing well, I have to first to be sustainable
myself. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Like you have to learn how to take care of yourself first before you are able to take care of the company. I think that's one very important thing or like, I'm like trying to transit and like learn about it.
So like, that makes a lot of sense as well because through social media, right, my friends or people I don't really know always say like, hey, you're just traveling, are you always traveling? You're like, are you
right?
So that's the point, right? Like I know myself so well, like I'm a creative, right? I can't just sit in a box and create.
Mm.
Where do your ideas come from? I need to seek inspiration elsewhere. Of course, sometimes I'm quite lucky I get to go overseas for work and all that stuff. But if I don't travel, I get very stifled. And I know that's who I am.
Right.
And I know that the traveling actually feeds back into the creativity, you know, and it helps me. But then do these people see it when it's off social media? Like, my day-to-day life is so bloody boring. Like, I mean, the most exciting thing is me cooking lunch for the team every day. But like, do you actually want to see that? Why would I put that on socials also?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we should feed into like, you know, at one period of time I was like, look at me, I work so much. That was on social media a lot. No, like, I'm so overworked. Like, look at me, I'm just working and working, you know. It became a flex, which I don't really understand.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, if you're really working so much, do you have time to take
a photo? Put it on social media. You won't have time, and you won't have the energy of the like, okay, now let's take a photo or
because
like a
content roster. Creation takes time.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And to end it all off, I would like to thank Ellie for doing this today.
No, thank you for having me too.
Yeah. Understanding a little bit more about coffee, about how you deal with work and life and balance. And I'm sorry about your dad.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
And you're welcome to come up anytime here.
Oh, yeah.
P.S. We are at 55 Kim Chuan. Oh, my God, I just told you where. 55 Kim Chuan Drive, right?
Yes.
Because, Ellie, do you want to let them know?
Yes, like, we'll be doing, like, takeaway, like, downstairs at the roastery. I think this is
0201.
Yes. This is probably the first roastery in Singapore that will sell takeaway.
Amazing.
So, yeah,
and I took a tour of their roastery. It's really proper. It's really nice. Sally,
all right, thank you.